Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that your spirit will come to us afresh. As we look at the cross, may it again grip our hearts and minds and lives. May it call forth from us a love that is dedicated to you. A love that is lived out, not only here, but in this world, in all our relationships. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you know I love the movies. I like most movies. I don't like horror movies. I definitely don't like graphic, violent movies. But recently, Nicholas and I went and saw Hacksaw Ridge. Yes. Nicholas sat there quite relaxed and I was going like this during those very, very graphic war scenes. It's getting too realistic. The story is about a man called Desmond Doss. He's a Seventh-day Adventist. And during World War II, he refused to carry a weapon. He refused to kill the enemy because of his religious beliefs. And to the surprise and amazement of his fellow soldiers, he displayed courage, he displayed bravery, and he displayed self-sacrifice beyond the call of duty. In fact, he ended up saving 75 lives. And of course, movies are an illusion. I have to keep reminding myself that. The stars of these films have stunt doubles or body doubles. They do all the hard stuff. And they even have other people called stand-ins. Now, a stand-in is a person who substitutes or stands in place of the actor, normally before the film actually starts rolling. They're there to set up the lighting and the camera. So stand-ins allow the director of photography and the camera department to light and focus the scene while the actors are absent. The director will often ask the stand-ins to deliver the same lines, walk through the same scenes. And in this way, a good stand-in can actually help with the day's production. They become a very valuable cast member. Stand-ins are distinguished from body doubles because the body doubles normally do the dangerous stuff, while stand-ins never appear on the camera. So stand-ins do not necessarily have to look like the actor, but they have to have the same skin tone, hair colour, height, and build as the actor so that when they're doing the lighting for a scene, they can do it correctly. Otherwise, if the stand-in is shorter than the actor, what will happen is when the actor comes on, the actor will actually be in darkness and not in light. And some actors actually have their own personal stand-ins. They're good friends. They take them everywhere with them when they do movies. Glenn Duckham, he's an ex-lawyer. He was the stand-in for Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 2. He said, "It sounds very glamorous saying that you're a stand-in for Tom Cruise, but I don't think many people realise the long hours and constant demands that deflate your ego very quickly. The days are long. Whatever scene Tom was in, I would be the one standing there, being him for sometimes for ages as the crew set up the shot, getting the light just right and the props just so. I'm standing there for hours in the weather, getting drenched in the rain, sun-stroked, and then Tom would walk onto the scene from his air-conditioning caravan or come out of his beautiful sports car ready to do the scene. As one other stand-in said, I realised very quickly the difference between being a star and being a stand-in." Because you would never expect Tom Cruise to be Glenn's stand-in or his body double because Tom Cruise is too important. He's too famous. He can't be injured because so much depends on him being in the film. Important people aren't stand-ins. So when we look at the cross, what do we see? We see a stand-in. A stand-in who should not be there. He's far more important. But he is. Who should be there? Well, we could say Judas. Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And he did it for money. Yes, he was greedy. Yes, he stole from the common purse. But it's a bit, human beings are more complicated than that. Because after Jesus was arrested and condemned, Judas goes back, throws down the money and says, I don't want it anymore. Guilt so gripped him that he ended up committing suicide. But Jesus went to the cross willingly and obediently because he loved the Father and he loved us. Or maybe Peter should have been on the cross. Peter was the one who boasted, saying, when everybody else deserts you, I'm going to stand there with you. And yet Peter was afraid of a servant girl. He denied Jesus, even cursing, swearing, not just once, not just twice, but three times. But then he repented and turned back to Jesus and was accepted. Or maybe Pilate should have been on the cross, cowardly, spineless Pilate, who was so focused on pleasing the populace. Like a good politician, he gave an innocent man over to the mob. It all depends on how we see the cross. Who should have been on that cross? The cross was the instrument that the Romans used to punish rebels against the state. Law and order was very important to the Romans. No one could or should challenge the power of Rome and survive. So the cross was an instrument of punishment and a warning to those who would think about rebelling against the rule of Rome. Judas, Peter, Pilate, possibly all deserved to be on the cross because in their own way they opposed the rule of God. But they weren't. Jesus was. Jesus stood in place of others. Jesus was our standing. Jesus was our body double. Jesus suffered for our sins, but he was innocent. He was guiltless. As the Bible says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous, that's him, for the unrighteous, that's us, with one purpose, to bring us back to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Pilate himself declared Jesus innocent when he asked what crime has he committed. Jesus, who was nailed to the cross, was innocent of any crime, was declared sinless, perfect and righteous by God. How? Because he was raised from the dead. But he was also declared the Son of God by a Roman soldier. Surely this man was the Son of God. So why does an innocent man, why does the Son of God act as a stand-in, a body double for others? Why does he take the sins of the world upon himself? He does it because the world stands under the condemnation of God. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless, and there is no one who does good, not even one. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that sin is real, and that we're all sinners under God's judgment. All because of our actions, our words, our choices, all focused on ourselves. All saying to God, I'm more important than you. I will lead my life my way. I will make gods out of pleasure, prosperity, popularity, creating purpose that honors me, that glorifies me. In the movie Hacksaw Ridge, Desmond Doss, he's rejected. He's mocked by his fellow soldiers during basic training, even beaten. All of them think he's useless. All of them think potentially he's a liability. In battle, he's going to fail them. They cannot rely on this man. And yet when the battle is underway, in spite of all the rejection, in spite of all the mocking, under cover of darkness, with bombs and guns all around him, he goes back time and again to rescue some of the very men that mocked him and considered him useless. Even in the movie, there's a hint that he goes back and even saves some of the enemy. And yet when he gets down the track, later on, the Medal of Honor, he gets the Medal of Honor for saving his own men. No one gets a Medal of Honor for saving the enemy. You see, Jesus wasn't a stand-in for his mates or his family or for good people. Jesus was a stand-in for his enemies. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, there is actually no example that you can give that comes close to what God did in and through his son, Jesus. Jesus was a stand-in for a world that rejects him. A world that God loves even as it continually rejects him. We hear stories of how parents sacrifice themselves protecting their child, and they die as they protect their child. Amazing stories. We hear stories of how soldiers give their lives to protect their mates. But when did you hear a story of someone dying for someone who hated them? When was the last time you heard of a story for someone who was a stand-in for someone who rejected them, who was their enemy? The cross of Jesus is in a category all on its own. It is a new and radical class of love and sacrifice. Nothing comes close to it. Jesus chose to be our stand-in, our body double, so that we could be brought back to God. In our reading, we read that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That curtain was not just one of those curtains you have at home. It was quite thick, woven. It was a barrier reminding the people that they could not meet God. The curtain blocked the way into the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence was on earth. And going into the Holy of Holies meant death for anyone who was a sinner. How could any human being face a holy and perfect God? Well, that verse tells us that Jesus tore the curtain by his death and opened the way for anyone and everyone to come to God. The cross declares to us that Jesus is the only way to God. Because Jesus alone deals with the problem of sin, our unholiness, our unrighteousness. As sinners, we love our sin. As sinners, we love to sin. The cross not only opens the way for us to go back to God, but when we embrace the cross, it changes us so that we love what God loves. And we love God more than we love our sin. His death means life for us and for the world. His death means forgiveness for us and for the world. His death means an end to the old relationship with sin and a new relationship, a restored relationship with God that will last forever. Jesus became our stand-in to bring us back to God. Jesus became our stand-in so that our sins would be dealt with. Jesus, as our stand-in, took God's punishment for our sins onto himself. That's why the cross is so important to Christians. The cross is central to the message of the gospel. Without the cross, there is no gospel. There is no good news. No way back to God. The cross reminds us that without a stand-in, you and I will stand alone before God. That's why today is called Good Friday. Because instead of us having to hang on a cross, Jesus did it. He did it for us. Jesus was our standing. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the one who created all things, the most important being, chose to be your standing. The truth is that Jesus is the only perfect person. He didn't need to be on that cross. He didn't have to be on that cross. But he chose to be on that cross, to be our stand-in. Without Jesus as your stand-in, you stand alone. But with Jesus as your stand-in, you are already accepted and embraced as one of the family. Today, the cross invites you, no matter where you might be with God, to come back to God. Maybe you're ignoring God today. The cross invites you to stop ignoring what's right in front of you and embrace what Jesus has done as your stand-in. Maybe you're running away from God. Well, the cross invites you to run back, run towards God. Maybe today you're just saying, this is all a lot of rubbish. Well, the cross challenges you to find a better message of hope and love, a better message that declares that the God that we worship is a God who doesn't just talk about it, but became our stand-in. Who else in this world, in this universe, would stand in your place? Who could you name? Who would stand in your place? The only one who can and could and did was Jesus. So may I encourage you this morning. May I encourage you to stand with Jesus, who was our stand-in on that cross on that first Good Friday. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that our hearts and minds will truly be open to understand, to appreciate what it means for you to be our standing, for you to choose to stand in our place under God's righteous judgment because of our sins, not your sins, but our sins. We pray, Lord, that as we take hold of that cross, as we can continue to meditate upon the truth that you stood in our place, that we will be transformed into men and women that love you, men and women that live for you, men and women who point others to you so they too can know you as their standing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.